Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Linda Gail Becker, Professor of Medicine and Chief Operating Officer of the Desmond Tutu HIV Foundation, joining us on the line this morning. A very good morning, Professor. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very, very good, thank you. So, what have you been observing? What have you been seeing?
Well, as you know, we only are bringing out the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in South Africa at the moment. And what we have been hearing back from people who've been vaccinated, because we have a safety line and we ask people to let us know so that we can document what's happening. We've had about 3,000 responses, the vast majority of which have been mild effects of the vaccine, and they're effects that we expect. So they are a sore arm just where the injection went in, a little bit of flu-like symptoms for a day or two, and then they settle down. And that's pretty much as you would expect with just about any vaccine that goes into the muscle in the arm. A little bit of, you know, maybe a little bit of fever, a headache, even a bit of nausea, feeling out of sorts, and then that disappears in a day or two. So that's the most that we see. And I understand that that's very similar for other vaccines as well.
I know my son has he lives overseas, and he's had the Pfizer, the two shots. And the first time was very, very mild. The second one, he had exactly those symptoms. He wasn't feeling great for a day or so, but then it just kind of disappeared. And the doctors and the nurses that I've spoken to here with the Johnson & Johnson, very similar, where some of them have been quite significant. Significant maybe muscle pain and a bit of fever, but then it just kind of disappears over the period. Of the 200,000, we haven't heard here in South Africa, we haven't heard of anything significant, have we? I certainly haven't seen it reported anywhere.
I had some allergy, so you know, you have people who are allergic, they have difficulties with a variety of different things, so they have active immune systems that respond with high sensitivity.
Right.
So we've had about five of those. Some of them have required a day or two observation in hospital, or I think overcautious probably on behalf of, you know, the fact that this is a new thing and we're carefully watching.
Right.
But all of them have recovered. So, you know, one had quite a severe rash. Somebody else who has asthma felt short of breath. Somebody else dropped their blood pressure. So we've had those kinds of reactions. We haven't had, you might have heard reports from overseas of anaphylaxis, which is a severe, urgent hypersensitivity reaction. We haven't seen that as yet, but we're obviously on the lookout, and we are wanting to monitor if that happens at all. Those people who are particularly allergic, we're asking that they let us know, and we're taking extra precautions at the time that we vaccinate them. So we're doing that, you know, rather vaccinating them at a center where we know we've got emergency and good backup. And so, again, people are asked prior to vaccination whether they have an allergy history for that reason.
Right. And HIV, people living with HIV on antiretrovirals, there's been no significant concerns around the taking of that medication as well as the vaccine.
The good thing about the Johnson & Johnson is we know that there were about 2.8% of the whole population in the trial. Actually were people living with HIV. We did not see a safety signal in the trial. And subsequently, although we asked people if they would like to let us know if they live with HIV, that they obviously don't have to do that. And we have not seen or heard any specific related issues in people who live with HIV. Obviously, the message goes on that if you live with HIV, the most important thing is that you are on your antiretrovirals and you are virally suppressed. So that's a bigger message even than vaccination for people who live with HIV. We know that's life-saving. Yeah.
Have studies yet been done, or have you started looking at the antiretrovirals in terms of COVID infection, if it has an impact at all? Because a lot of people are saying, well, it just doesn't make sense that a country the size of South Africa with in effect no vaccine program yet, we're seeing, you know, 1,000 to 1,500 new cases a day. Yes, of course, we're between surges right now. We understand that. But it's the numbers are still relatively low considering what it could be. Have you looked into the possibility that the antiretroviral assist with prevention?
Yeah, I think there has been quite an extensive look at antiviral, anti-SARS-CoV-2 viral activity of the current HIV drugs, and there hasn't been anything significant to support that. There were, as you know, in the beginning last year, actual trials with some of the antiviral agents, and they did not show any impact. So whether there is some small effect, you know, that overall is having some benefit, I think we don't know. But certainly what we do know in, and this has come out of good data out of the public health department at UCT, that there is a small added impact of living with HIV in terms of outcomes with SARS-CoV-2. It's not as bad as the case when you also live with diabetes or hypertension or you're obese, but there is some impact of living also with HIV. So, again, important that people are on the antivirals and are virally suppressed.
Right, and of course, are socially conscious as well. I've got this theory, and it's completely anecdotal, maybe one day we'll be able to look at it. I'm convinced that because of the high incidence of HIV in South Africa, South Africans are quite well, in inverted commas, socialized around caution and illness. In other words, South Africans, I think anyone living with HIV and who's managing it is quite responsible in terms of their health. And that means that we're aware and we're receptive to behavior modifications because of potential illness. So I think that the impact might be a social one, the fact that we used to in South Africa living, people go to the clinics, they make sure they're taking their antiretrovirals. We're quite aware of the impact of not being responsible. And I just wonder if that hasn't translated into something positive with regard to COVID-19. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I think we had an enormous campaign in the last decade or two around what actually a virus is, right? And I think there was, a great deal of population education around understanding our battle with microbes and, you know, just as you say, infection control more generally. Perhaps tuberculosis is the other one, you know.
Yes, exactly.
It's almost like a household concept for us here. And, you know, the notion that you have to open your windows and the air you breathe is something to think about. Is perhaps more our bread and butter than it is for people in other parts of the world. And yes, I think we also, you know, maybe are more open to hearing how behavior change is an important component of public health interventions. And so hopefully that has stood us in a lot of good stead. I think also we have a much better relationship with vaccination generally. Than perhaps even more developed countries. I think there's a good understanding, particularly with women who bring their children for childhood vaccination, that these are life-saving interventions.
Yeah.
And it's important that we do it for our families, you know, and the people around us.
Yeah, a very, very interesting. Professor Linda Gail Becker, Professor of Medicine and Chief Operating Officer at the Desmond Tutu HIV Foundation. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us. Very, very interesting indeed.